Good morning. Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadi Dalet. We're behind. We're back on Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, and we begin. Where do we end yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay. Towards the top of the page, Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top of the page. Sefer Daniel, we spent a lot of time yesterday discussing Sefer Daniel. We talked yesterday about the six miracles that occurred on one single day. One of the six miracles that happened is the saving of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the Kifshan Eish. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar constructed a large idol, instructed all the Jews to bow down to the idol. For the most part, the Jews did, unfortunately. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, however, did not. They did not bow down to the idol. They were thrown into the Kifshan Ha'esh as a result of that, and they were saved from the Kifshan Ha'esh.
Which is the 10th tribe or the last two tribes that you're talking about? Which group are we talking about?
This is Nebuchadnezzar. There's no longer any 10 tribes. 10 tribes were dispersed prior to the destruction of the temple. About 150 years before the destruction of the first temple. So they're the only ones. Yehuda is the only one left. Yehuda and Yamin. So Amar Shmuel, we're going to learn today, according to most opinions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were descendants of David HaMelech. So that's what we saw yesterday. The other miracle that took place concurrently on that same day is the Atzamas Yeveshos, the resurrection of the dry bones. So yesterday's daf, we talked about the Atzamas Yeveshos. We're done. We're not going to speak about that today. But we will speak today about Sefer Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and we'll hopefully finish that topic today as well. Okay, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonah's son, my dichsev. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim says as follows: Amarti Ela B'Tamar Ochza B'Santanav. The pasuk says, "I'm going to go B'Tamar. I'm going to go to the date tree. Ochza. I'm going to hold Santanav. I'm going to hold one of the branches." That is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The Gemara here darshins. Amarti Ela B'Tamar Eli Yisrael. I wanted to elevate my name through the Jewish people. Tamar, we're always compared to Tamar. Tamar has a single stalk going up. It's a single entity. Right? Bnei Yisrael only have Livanecha L'Shamayim. They only have one heart to God. However, I wanted to glorify my name throughout the entire Jewish people. Unfortunately, all I got out of them was one branch. Shel Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah. And that is Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah, the only people who did not succumb to Avodah Zarah, and my name was glorified through them. I'm Rav Yochanan, my dichsiv reisi alai levihin ishur achiv asus adom, v'hu omeid bein ha'had asim asher b'mtsula. Another drasha similar to what we just saw, pasuk in Zechariah, the beginning of Zechariah. I saw at night, and there was a man riding on a horse, on a red horse, and he was standing amongst the myrtles, that is b'mtsula, that's in the depth. So, again, this is the pasuk and Navi. We're going to darshan. My reisi alayla biker shakash baruch lahafach es kol am kulo alayla. God wanted to turn the whole world into night. Upon seeing that basically the entire Jewish people were being over to Avodah Zarah during the period of Nebuchadnezzar, so God said, "Really, I'm interested in just going back and reverting the whole world back to night." V'hine ish rochev. Ein ish al hakadosh baruch hu. The ish over here, the reference to the singular entity, that's the reference to God. Shenemar, we every morning as yashir Hashem ish milchama Hashem shmo. So the ish is hakadosh baruch hu. Sus edom because hakadosh baruch hu lahafach es olam kulo ladam. The red signifies that God was really interested in just destroying the entire world. But then he takes a look at the three tzaddikim of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he calmed down. He cooled down, so to say. And now we're going to identify what the Hadassim are. Ein Hadassim ala Tzadikim Shenema v'yomin es Hadassah. The word Hadassim is a reference to Tzadikim. We know that because Esther was called Hadassah. She was a myrtle. The Gemara tells us that the Hadass gives off a fragrant odor. So therefore it's a reference to Tzadikim. And Mitzula, what does that depth mean? That's talking about Bavel. Shenema ha'omer l'tzula charviv v'narasech ovish miyad meleim rogez. Na'asem Venarasech Ovish. Right? The Mitsula, the depth is a reference to it's a reference to Bavel. Bavel is Iraq. It stands between the Tigris and the Euphrates. And it's Mitsula because it is really in the depths. Okay? Yad Malayim Rogez Nasem Shrokim Va'adamim Nasu Levanim. Then it turned from red to white. Because of the actions of Hanani, Mishael, Va'azariah, the red, which demonstrated God's interest in destroying the Jewish people, turned white. Not much different than what we find on Yom Kippur, where the red tassel turns into white. Amra papash mamina susya chivra ma'ale lechalma. And just a little bit of dream interpretation, you see a white horse in your dream, so that's tava lechalma, that's good. That's a good sign. And this is a reference to the Gemara at the end of Brachos, where the Gemara over there goes through all the dream interpretation. Okay, now, a couple basic questions that we're going to deal with. We're not going to go through Sefer Daniel, right? Unfortunately, because it really, the Gemara over here assumes that we have a working basic knowledge of Sefer Daniel. It's been a long time since I've actually been through the entire Sefer. But a couple things. In Perek Gimel, we find Hanani, Mishael ve'Azariah go into the Kivshan Ha'esh, come out unscathed, totally unscathed, and we never hear of them again. Well, we don't know what happens to Hanani, Mishael, ve'Azariah. Okay? And that's one question the Gemara is going to deal with. And the other basic question that Gemara is going to deal with is, where was Daniel throughout this whole episode? Meaning that there was, when Nebuchadnezzar, let's just go back to the beginning of Sefer Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar took reign, so one of the first things that he did as the reigning emperor of Babylonia is that he brought in young Jewish boys to serve him. Very refined Jewish boys, meaning they were going to be advisors, basically. But advisors from birth. They were going to take him at a very young age. Children who showed certain precocious tendencies, he brought them into his court, and he raised them. So of the Jews, there are essentially four Jews that he brought in. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, these four. So one of the things that's going to bother the Gemara, it's an obvious question, which the Gemara here is going to deal with, is where was Daniel? Daniel was not part of the whole Kivshan Ha'esh, and that's a little bit weird. He's together with the other three, so where was he at the time? Okay, so the two questions, so we're going to, not that one yet. First question is, what happened to Hanani, Mishael, ve'Azariah after the whole episode of Kivshan Ha'esh, which was the third parak of Sefer Daniel? V'Rabban Lehecha Azlu. Yes, where did the rabbis go after that? So Amar Rav, so Machlokas. A debate in the Gemara in terms of what was the fate of Hanani, Mishael, ve'Azariah. Amar Rav b'Ayin Hara Mesu. So one opinion is that they died with Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara, because remember, in the context it makes sense, all the other Jews ended up capitulating and worshiping the idols. They didn't. So now, and as a result of that, one of the greatest miracles happened. They survived the Kivshan Ha'esh, and they come out unscathed, and everyone's looking at them like, I can't believe it. You showed us up. And so, Ayin Hara killed them. Shmuel Amar Barok Tiv'o. Shmuel's of the opinion that they drowned in spit. Now, what that means is very unclear. The Gemara does not explain where did the spit come from. Rashi says, but also Rokshe Rakaku Umas Ha'olam B'Yisrael. The non-Jews over there, they were spitting. Going back to what we learned yesterday in the Gemara, that they were just looked at us like we're crazy. Here we have a God who is able to do that, save Hanani, Mishael, ve'Azariah from a furnace, and we're bowing down to Tzelem, and they were spitting upon the Jewish people. And as irony has it, and as tragedy has it, they're the ones, Hanani, Mishael, ve'Azariah, who ends up dying in that spit. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar relates himself, and Asur Nashim Vaholi Dubanim Uvanos. Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Israel, says they made Aliyah. Yeah, and they had children, Holidu Banim Uvanos. So it's subject to a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Yochanan. What was the fate of Hanani, Mishael, ve'Azariah? This is an antiquated machlokus. Kitanai, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Bayin, Harameisu, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Barok, Tivu, Vechachamim, Omerim, Olu, Leitzov, Venasu, Nashim, Vaholi, Nubanim, Ubanos, Shene, Emar. Now, we're going to quote a pasuk in just a moment, proving the point of the Chachamim. The way the Braisa presents it, it's the majority position is that they did survive, and they made Aliyah, and they went up to Eretz Yisrael, and they had children in Israel. Right? It is only the Das Yachid, the, so to say, the singular positions of Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua say that they died, but the majority position, it's not an area we're going to paskin, but the majority position is that, no, they survived, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar, now we quote a pasuk, that gives us an illusion, an indication, that they went up to Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar, Shmana Yehoshua, Kohen HaGadol, Atal V'recha, Yehoshua Mofanecha, Ki Anshe Mofes Hema, describing Yehoshua the Kohen. Much later, Yehoshua. Right, Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, who lived at the time of the beginning of the Second Temple. So he was Anshe Mofes, he was a child of men of wonders. Ezahim on Hashim Shanasim La Mofes. Well, who is Mr. Mofes, so to say? So they were a descendant. And you're going to have to say, you're right. In other words, he's a Kohen and they're from the tribe of Yehuda. So they're going to have to say that he was a descendant and eventually Kohanim married into the family. But no, that's a very good point. Okay, so that deals with question number one. What happened to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah after the story of Kivshan Eish? After the third chapter of Daniel, we don't see them again. Okay, so the Gemara brings down some opinion in terms of what happened there. Now we turn to Daniel. Right, another basic question. Where was Daniel during the whole episode of Kivshan Eish? The Daniel Lehechan Azal. So the Gemara is going to have a number of opinions. But even though there are going to be a number of opinions, the basic idea is the following. Nobody wanted Daniel there. And I say nobody, I mean, and the Gemara is going to spell this out. I'll just give you a heads up. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him there. Daniel didn't want himself there. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't want him there. Right? Nobody wanted him there. And we'll explain over the course of the next little bit of Gemara why it is that nobody wanted him there. So, Lehechan Azal, so where did he go? So, Amarav Lemichra Nahara, to dig up a river, trenches for the river, take care of some public works. Rava, Lemichra Nahara Rabba Bitveria, sorry, to dig up a big river in Tveria. The Kinneret, maybe, the Gemara is referring to. Shmuel Amar Lasui Bizra de Aspasta. To go buy some aspasta. Aspasta was some sort of grain that was used for animals. Rav Yochanan Amar Lasui Chazir de Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim. And then Rav Yochanan, it's interesting, same layout in terms of opinions. Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan says that he went to go buy pigs from Mitzrayim. Now on this, right, as he was instructed to do so by Nebuchadnezzar. He was sent by Nebuchadnezzar in order to go get pigs from Egypt. Egypt exported the best livestock, horses and pigs, and theirs was the best. And he was sent on a mission to go get some pigs from Mitzrayim. Ini, the Gemara just raises a technical issue. V'atanya tudus arofe amar ein par v'chazir yotzim alexandra shal Mitzrayim shein chotchin ha'im shalah b'shur shalah seleid. Egypt wanted to monopolize the entire hog and horse industry. So one of the things they did in order to corner the market is that whenever they sent horses or pigs out from their country, so they sterilized the animals so that the animals would never have any more children and that people would have to go back to Egypt in order to get the livestock. Okay? Classic business move. And classless business, whatever. It's a business move. So, Bishul Shalom, let's say like. So the Gemara just bothered, just a technical issue. How can he go and get pigs? They're going to be sterilized. I don't know why it's such a question. Maybe he just went there to get pigs, sterilized pigs. I don't know why the Gemara is compelled to think that they had to have been non-sterilized pigs. Anyway, the Gemara answers on this very technical question. Zutrei ha'isi b'lo datayu. They were very young at the time, and he went out unnoticed. Something along those lines. Okay, anyway. Tanu Rabbanan. We get to the bigger issue, and that is, Daniel wasn't there. And where he was sent to go, so the Gemara brings in a number of opinions. But to the core of the matter, why wasn't he there? So three people were involved in an interest, had an interest in him not being there. So we're going to go through the three, I'm going to say people, but one of them is God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Nezo Daniel Mehacha Delolem Rubizechuse Isnatzel. Look, if Daniel's there, he's going to get all the credit. Meaning that Mishael, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah will go into the Kivshan Eish and they'll be saved, but people will think it's not really them, it's really Daniel. Okay, so for God's reason, so his purpose is, I want to make sure that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah get the due credit they deserve for actually testing and passing the test of not succumbing to Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's number one. Daniel. Amar Ezo Mehacha Dolalekom Bey Psilei Eloheihem Tisrafun Ba'esh. Okay, this is a strange part of the whole episode of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. As I mentioned in this morning's introduction, Nebuchadnezzar brought these children in to serve as advisors. They were very distinguished. I told you that they were prodigious. They, even as precocious, even as young children, they showed a lot of just honor, respect, intelligence. We'll go through it in just a moment. Daniel was so amazing that Nebuchadnezzar started worshiping Daniel as a god. States so in the Pasuk. And what Daniel was concerned with is that what's going to happen is that him being treated as a god, he's afraid, Daniel, that if he goes into Kivshan Eish, he's going to get burnt. Meaning that the fact that he didn't bow down to idols, in of itself, that would have been great, and that would have been a zechus. On the other hand, he himself is treated like a god by Nebuchadnezzar. We know what we're supposed to do with false gods. The pasuk says, "Psile Elohim tesufam beish." They're going to be burnt in fire. So he said, on account of the fact that I'm being treated like a god, I'm going to be burnt in the fire. That's what Daniel's thinking is, and that's why he didn't want to go into Kivshan Eish, and that's why he was more than happy to go on some sort of mission, on some sort of journey, so he wouldn't have to be there for the whole episode. And Nebuchadnezzar, and as far as his motivation, Amar Yazil Daniel Mehacha, Dololem Rukalya Laloha Benura. He didn't want to burn his god in fire. Meaning he acknowledges that he treated Daniel like a god, and he didn't want to burn his god in a fire, so therefore he sent Daniel on some sort of mission. Uminain de Sagidle, and how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Daniel? Dichsiv ba'adin malka Nebuchadnezzar nafal apon ule Daniel sagid. Pasuk in Daniel pretty much says it. He sagid min Aramaic means to bow down. He bowed down, Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to Daniel. So you see that Nebuchadnezzar treated Daniel like a god.
Most likely Daniel would have probably burned in the fire because Hashem would have said, you worship them as a god.
I mean, I don't know. We can only speculate, but he thought he was going to get burned in the fire. Koma Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael. Elachav ben Kulia ve'el Tzidkiyahu ben Maaseha ha-Nevi'im lachem b'shmi l'shaker. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes two other Nevi'im who lived during the same time as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they were not good Nevi'im. They were bad Nevi'im. And they falsely prophesied. Uksiv, now one of the things they falsely prophesied is that we're going to be saved from Babel immediately. Now, Daniel did not say that. Daniel, in fact, told everybody 70 years. We're going to be in Babel for 70 years. Yirmiyahu also told everybody 70 years. So these two prophets who the Gemara identifies over here and are mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu, so they said immediately, and that's just not true. Uksiv lokech mehem klal l'chol galus Yehuda asher bebavol le'mor yisimcha Hashem kitzidkiyahu uke'achav asher kalam melech bavol ba'ish asher sarfam. They got burnt in the fire. Lo ne'amar ela asher kolam amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochanan malam she'asam keklayos. They were like parched corn. They were totally burnt in the fire. Why? Ya'an asher asu nevala b'Yisrael v'yinafu et neshei re'ehem. The Torah describes that they did some sort of niyuf. They were interested in committing adultery with some women. Who was that? So the Gemara, that's all we see in the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu only gives us a vague description of what they did, and that is commit adultery. The Gemara here in Sanhedrin now is going to give us some more, a little bit more behind the story of what they attempted to do. My Ovid, Azul Gabi Barta Nebuchadnezzar. So they tried to tempt the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. And not too smart. It just doesn't seem all that bright. But that's what they did. And they colluded. They partnered. Achav says to her, Achav is one of these prophets, these false prophets, says to her, you know, there's going to be another prophet, his name is Tzidkiyahu, and he's going to proposition you, and you should agree. You should agree to Tzidkiyahu. He is a Navi. Okay, yeah. So Hashmi'el Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu Amar Kol Hashem Hashmi'el Achav. So, and then Tzidkiyahu goes over to her and says, look, there's this Navi, he's amazing. His name is Achav. He's going to proposition you, and you should say yes. And that's what God says. Okay. Okay, terrible pickup lines, if you will. Azlavi Amra Le Lavua. And she goes now and she reports this to her father. Amra La Elohim She'elo Sonezima. And Nebuchadnezzar immediately picks up on the fact, nah, they're not prophets of God. That's ridiculous. God doesn't go for that sort of thing. They're God. Right? Their God doesn't go for that sort of thing. He's Sonezima. He hates this type of lewd behavior. No, they're not real. So, ki also legabech, shajun legabai. So the next time they come to you, just send them to me. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar telling his daughter, a referral. So okay, and all right, and she says, you know, my father would like to have a word with you. So the story gets better. So Nebuchadnezzar says to them, yeah, so let me get this straight. You're propositioning my daughter, and who told you to do this? So Amru, so they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean? We're sent by God. Okay. The Hachananya, this is Nebuchadnezzar's response. The Hachananya, Mishal Vazari, Shal Tinova Amruli, Asur. What do you mean? I have my Jewish advisors. Hananya, Mishal Vazari. I asked them, right, is this kind of behavior okay? Is that acceptable? And they said, no, it's not acceptable. Amruli, Ananami Neviya Kavasayu. So they say, yeah, but look, that's nice. You're little Jewish advisors. That's nice. But we're also prophets. And Lididu lo amar lahu, Lididan amar lan. Look, God may not have given them that, you know, the special dispensation, but God spoke to us and he told us it's fine. Amar lahu. So Nebuchadnezzar says, oh, this is way too fishy. Be'ina de'iv de'kinchu. Look, so let me test you out. Because I know Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, they've been tested. And I know that they're definitely Nevi Hashem. I tried throwing them in the furnace. It didn't work. They survived it. So let me test you guys out. Amrulay. So they say, Inon Tlasahavu. The Anon Shrein. So, yeah, but it's not fair. They're three, and we're two, and it's not going to work with two. Right? You know that. We can only withstand the furnace if we have three. So Nebuchadnezzar says, fine. Yeah, so good. So go. Go get a third, whoever you want. Amri Yoshua Kohen Gadol, so they were smart. Up until now, it's hard to say that, but here they were smart. They chose Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Now, we already discussed him just a bit earlier this morning. Yoshua Kohen Gadol was a tzaddik. He ended up, when they went back into to build the second temple, he became the Kohen Gadol and a worthy Kohen Gadol. So the man's a tzaddik. So Yoshua Kohen Gadol, so he says he'll be our third. Okay. Savri, Leisa Yoshua, Denafish Zechusei, Umagna Alan. He has a lot of zechus, a lot of merit, and he's going to protect us. They threw him into the furnace, the three of them. So now you're right here. Here's a trio that you never heard of. Right, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, that you heard of. Now we have the team of Achav, Tzidkiyahu and Yehoshua. Doesn't roll off the tongue. So they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Inu ikle Yehoshua kohen gadol achrichu mane. So the other two were burnt. Well, we knew that was going to happen. The other two were burnt. Yehoshua did not burn in the Kivshan Ha'esh, but his clothes singed a little bit. Shenemar v'yoneis Yehoshua kohen gadol amilifnei malach Hashem. Uksiv v'yomer Hashem al ha'satan yigar Hashem b'cha v'chulei. Pasuk in Zechariah describes how God reprimands Satan, but there's Satan. Satan goes and he, so to say, does have a stand, has a position against Yehoshua. Amar le yadana did tzidkiyahu at ela maitam ahanya abach porta nura. So he's a tzaddik. Yehoshua is a definite tzaddik. But the fire did touch him. It singed his clothing. Why did that happen? Chanani mishal v'azariah lo ahanya beklal. That was the question. Amalei inu tlasa havavan echad. So first of all, three on one. Right, Chanani mishal v'azariah created a group, a zeman, if you will, of people who were tzaddikim, so therefore they were totally untouched by the fire. Yehoshua, on the other hand, was in the furnace together with two other people who were burnt. So in other words, the fire did have shlita, it had some sort of dominion. So, have anachad. So the Gemara says, wait a second, just being one, we know historically that one tzaddik can survive a furnace, and Avraham is going to be our prototype. Avraham was thrown into the furnace and he totally survived it, and his clothing didn't get singed. The Gemara assumes that to be the case. So Hasam Avrisham Behadeh. Velo Isiar Vishusa Lenura. Hach Avrisham Behadeh. Isiar Vishusa Lenura. So, yeah, it's different. Avraham was by himself. So there, Kadosh Baruch Hu could say to the fire, back off. Here, Yehoshua was with two other people, and it was a little bit tricky to our limited understanding of how this works. But it's a little bit tricky, because God says to the fire, look, those two I want you to burn, but Yehoshua, I want you to lay off. So he's in the same furnace with them, so it's kind of harder to control the fire. Hainadam inshe treyuda yavisha v'charitivta ukdan yavisha l'ritivta. You have three logs of wood. Two of them are bone dry and easily flammable. One of them is still wet. The wet one, however, because it's with two dry ones, is gonna ignite. You'll get to the necessary temperature and it'll ignite. Same thing over here. I got two people who need to be burned. One person who is not going to get burned, but he's going to be affected. Okay. My tama ianish. Now, the Gemara goes forward with this. Still, if Yehoshua was a tzaddik gamur, he would not have been singed at all. So there's something out there with Yehoshua in terms of why he was singed. The children of Yehoshua, they married girls they should not have married. The Gemara does not identify who they married. Could be not even non-Jews. It could be just a grusha or a chalala or a zona, something like that. And he didn't protest. Now it's not him, but it's still his children. And he had an opportunity to protest, and he didn't protest. And Shenemar, and again we go back to the pasuk in Zechariah describing Yehoshua. Again, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Yehoshua Hayalavush Begadim Soim. Yehoshua was wearing Begadim Soim. He was wearing soiled clothing. V'chidako Yehoshua Lavush Begadim Soim. What does that mean? He was literally wearing soiled clothing? No. He didn't protest who his sons ended up marrying. Okay. Okay, a more global look at Chananya, Mishael, the Azariah. Inyana Diyuma, our timing could not have been better. That's not true. I could be on the right page of Gemara. But outside of that, our timing couldn't be better. And that is, we're going to quote now from Sefer Rus. Rus, of course, is a progenitor, the Ima Shel Malchus. She is a matriarch of David HaMelech and of all the Davidic dynasty. And here, In the third parak of Sefer Rus, so Sheish HaSeorim HaEla Nasan Li. Boaz handed over to Rus Sheish Seorim, six barley corns. Now, right, six ears, six little, that's all he gives her. And it's representative. It can't be that he gave her six in order to like satisfy her hunger. Remember, because also she's bringing also all this food back to Naomi. So six is a representative number. So what does that mean? Elam sheish arim mamish v'chidar choshal boaz lite matana sheish sa'arim. That's not a matana, it's not a gift. Ela sheish se'in. And if you want to tell me that he gave her six sa'ar, that's too much. It's too big. V'chidar choshal isha lito sheish se'in. A woman doesn't walk out of the field with six se'in. She would need like a forklift. It's just too much. Ela. So the Gemara says this is all representative. It's remazim. Ela remez ramaz la shastidim shisha banim latzeis mimenu shemez barachim b'sheish sheish brachos. She will ultimately be the mother, the matriarch of six descendants, each one of them imbued with six qualities. Okay, the Elohim. And so now, for a good part of this amud, we're going to identify the six descendants of Ruth, and we're going to also identify the six qualities of these six descendants. Okay, don't worry. It's not. It should come out to 36, but it won't be. It won't be that bad. Elohim. So number one. So first, we're going to identify all six in quick succession: David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah. Okay. So those are your big six. There are six descendants of Ruth, right? And of those six descendants, each one of them was imbued with six qualities. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go through each six and explain the qualities of each one of the six. Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah, by the way, we always treat like a trio, like a triplet. So right, they're going to be treated together. But first we'll start off with David. David, who was the great-grandson, great-great-grandson of Rus. David dechsiv ayan echame anarim v'yomer hinei reisi ben li Yishai beis halachmi. This is Doeg speaking to Shaul. Shaul was depressed, suffered terrible depression, and Doeg says to Shaul, "You need music. Music is going to help your depression, right? Yeah. It absolutely is. And so I'm going to suggest to you," Doeg says to Shaul, "I know this young man, and he's fantastic. Yodea nagein v'gibor chayel v'ish melchama v'navon davar v'ish tovar v'Hashem imo." And you count it up, and those are six qualities that Doeg used to describe David HaMelech. Well, he's not David HaMelech yet. The Amr of Yehuda Amarav, Kol HaPosuk Zeh Lo Amru Doeg, Ela B'Lashon Hara. Now, Doeg had an agenda. He really was not there just simply to praise David HaMelech, but he was there, Doeg was there to stir the pot. And he was just there to basically poke Shaul and say, "Look, here's this guy David. I'm telling you, be careful. Be careful of him, because I feel like he's going to take the throne from you." Okay. Now certainly Doeg is right, but he was just there to incite. That was his basic agenda. Yodan again, and here we go now. The Gemara is going to give us a play-by-play of all the qualities that Doeg infused into David. And basically, all this was just like a stab at Shaul. Watch out for this guy. She odeh li Shaul, yodeh nagein. He knows to ask the right questions. Gibor, she odeh la'ashiv. If somebody asks him a question, he knows an answer. Ish melchama, she odeh li'sav li'tav li'tam be'mechamto shel Torah. He knows how to battle the battle of Torah. V'Hashem imo, what do I do over here? Don't read the parentheses. On the side of the Gemara, correction. V'navon davar. I'm reading now on the inside margin in my Gemara. I don't think whatever. V'navon davar shemevin davar mitoch davar. He knows how to understand one thing from another. He's very deductive. Ish to'ar shemar panim b'halacha. He is ish to'ar. He not only has a halachic opinion, but he presents it so well. Everyone looks at him and says, "Yeah, that's right." V'hashem imosha halacha kamosa b'chol makom. And then whenever he has an opinion, the halacha falls like him. Bechulu amar lehu Yonasan benikamahu. So Shaul says, wait, hold on one second. I got a son, Yonasan, and he's just as good. Kimin da amar lev Hashem imo Milsa de Bididei Nami Lohava Bay Chalash Daita the Iknaya Bay. But he ended off with the words Vashem Imo, which means that the halacha always ends up following like David HaMelech, and even Shaul himself did not have that luxury. Wherever he turned Yarshia, he did bad. He just wasn't accepted. Over David Ksiv, over Chol Asher Yifneh Yatzliach. Okay. Now, this is all Doeg's way of inciting controversy and jealousy between Shaul and David. If you look contextually in the story, it doesn't say that this was Doeg. In fact, the Gemara quotes the pasuk above, Vayan Echad Mehane'arim. One of the attendants of Shaul was talking, how do we know it's Doeg? Minalan de Doeg Havak, Siv Hach, Vayan Echad Mehane'arim. Miyuchad Shebena'arim. Echad means he was special. Uksiv Hasam Hashem Ish Me'abde Shaul Bayamahu. Ne'etzar Lifnei Hashem Ushmo Doeg Hadami. Avir Haroim Asher L'Shaul. Asher L'Shaul. Okay, by Nov, by the city of Nov, there was one of Shaul's people over there, and we know it was Doeg. In fact, we also know Doeg ended up causing the death of all the city of Nov, because he ran to Shaul, and he told Shaul, you know, the city of Nov, the Kohanim of Nov, they hid David HaMelech, while David HaMelech was a refuge running away from you. Okay, that's David HaMelech. Number two, our second of the descendants of Rus, Mashiach. Dechziv anachal avruach Hashem ruach achma uvin aruach etzal gvur ruach daas v'yiras Hashem v'ksiv v'harichu b'yiras Hashem, and he was able to smell yiras Hashem. Amar Rav Alexander Melamed sheitinu mitzvot v'yisurim kerechayim. He was able to burden both mitzvot and yisurim like rechayim, like a millstone. Rava Amar de Moreach Vidain. He was able to smell justice. You know how you go to a judge and you get a judgment, and he sits there and he asks, and it's difficult. He, meaning Mashiach, is able to smell justice. Dichsiv olam areinav yishpot v'shefet b'tzedek dalim v'hochiach b'meisher li'inui aretz. Okay. He was able to seek absolute justice just by sniffing it out. Okay, here we go. Unbelievable Gemara is coming up right now. We had in our history a couple of false prophets, false messiahs, if you will. Sorry. There are a lot of famous ones. But one of the most famous ones was a man by the name of Bar Kokhba. In our Gemara, he's not called Bar Kokhba. He's called Bar Kuziva. After the destruction of the Second Temple, so we started about 60 years after the destruction of the Second Temple, we started a revolt against the Romans. The general of the revolt was this man, Bar Kuziva, Bar Kokhba, and he was backed. And who was his backer?
Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva backed him, and Rabbi Akiva assumed that he was the Mashiach. Okay? And obviously, it was not a successful revolution. The Romans, we're going to see in just a moment. It is very unclear from our Gemara right now who, in fact, killed Bar Kokhba. Okay? Maybe you thought it was the Romans, which I'm not going to reject, but our Gemara does not seem to suggest that. Bar Kuziva Malach Saktin Shnin Upalga. He ruled, he was a king. He ruled over the Jewish people for 2.5 years. Amru l'Rabbanan ana Mashiach. Now here, from our Gemara, here's our Gemara's take on what happened. It was him that was self-promoting. He says, I'm the Mashiach. Amru l'Leba Mashiach siv demarach v'dayin. Wait a second. The rabbi said to him, you know, one of the qualities of Mashiach is that they could smell justice. Can you do that? He couldn't do that. He couldn't sniff out justice. So they killed him. That's it. That's our Gemara.
He killed him.
Yeah.
Who's they?
The rabbis. The rabbis.
The court.
Okay. So from our Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's evident, it seems, right? It's pretty clear that Bar Kuziva was promoted himself as a Mashiach. They tested out his claim. They found that it was not correct, and they killed him. I read to you the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Okay? This is where the Rambam talks all about Mashiach and the days of Mashiach and onward. So he writes, Al ya'ale al datcha she'amelch Mashiach tzarech la'asos osos u'mofsim. Don't think, says the Rambam, that the Mashiach has got to be some sort of miracle worker. It's not true. Or mecharish dvarim ba'olam. Or mechayim meisim v'chayotze b'dvarim eila. She'atip she'momrim. The Rambam writes that, you know what dumb people say? They say that Mashiach is a miracle worker and he resurrects the dead and he does all these wonderful things. And the Rambam says, no, don't say that. Ein hadavar kein, shaharei Rabbi Akiva chacham gadol mechachmei mishnah haya. Rabbi Akiva, who was chacham gadol, this great sage, v'hu haya nosei kelav shal ben kuziva. The Rambam writes that Rabbi Akiva was the attendant. He held the weapons of Ben Kuziva, Hamelech, Vehu Haya Omer, and he would say, meaning Rabbi Akiva, Alav Shehu Hamelech HaMashiach. Rabbi Akiva supported the position that Bar Kochva was in fact the Melech HaMashiach. V'dogmahu v'chochach meidar Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach Ad Sheneherag Ba'avonos, until he was killed in his sins. I think the Rambam's talking about Bar Kochva. Kevin Sheneherag No, the Shena Mashiach. Yeah, he's talking about Bar Kokhla. And once he was killed, once Bar Kokhla was killed, so now it got everyone thinking, I don't think it was Mashiach. Right? But in other words, but Rabbi Akiva supported the position until Bar Kokhla's death that Bar Kokhla was the Mashiach. V'lo shalom yimenu chachamim lo os v'lo mofes. And they didn't ask Bar Kokhla for any type of miracle, any type of wondrous act. Okay? That is the Rambam in the 11th parak of Sefer Malachim.
This Gemara contradicts
him. Now, right. So, right, this is where it gets really interesting. So, you read our Gemara, that is not the sense you get. Our Gemara doesn't mention Rabbi Akiva at all. Our Gemara makes it sound like Bar Kokhla was a total self-promoter, tested by the Chachamim and put to death. You do not, after reading the Rambam, you don't get that sense. And the reason why you don't get that sense is because the Rambam is following the Yerushalmi, right? We don't have a Yerushalmi. The Rambam, we have it. I'm just saying, we're not learning it right now. But the Rambam very often follows the Gemara Yerushalmi. The Gemara Yerushalmi brings in a different opinion. It's the Radvaz, one of the chief commentaries on the Rambam, especially around these parts in Hilchos Malachim. So the Radvaz writes, Ule'inyan ben Kuziva ain't Safik Shaya Machlokes ben Achachamim. Radvaz says, you want my opinion? Even at the time when Rabbi Akiva supported him, it was very controversial. The other Chachamim didn't agree with Rabbi Akiva. Miksasim lo haminu shu Mashiach. Uksasim haminu. Some rabbis believed that Ben Kuziva was the Mashiach. Some believed he wasn't the Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva mechlalam. Rabbi Akiva happened to have been one of the Chachamim who thought that he was. Ve'afilu acher sheshachu Chachamim imorch v'dain ilo lo chazer bo Rabbi Akiva. And the Radvaz says, even after the test that the rabbis tested, meaning according to the Radvaz, our Gemara represents the group of the Chachamim who thought he wasn't the Mashiach. And the Radvaz says, and still Rabbi Akiva held his position. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, he didn't really test him. That kind of justice didn't need the sniffing test. Only after the death of Bar Kokhva, then it became clear and evident that he was not, in fact, the Mashiach. Okay? We could go on, but you get it. You get the sense of how controversial this Bar Kokhva being the Mashiach was. Okay. Let's go on to the Gemara.
The one of Ruth is...
Is he cool son of...
Bar Kokhva, that's what the Gemara calls him. The Gemara calls him Bar Kokhva. Right, we call him more popularly known as Bar Kokhva. Okay, and Daniel Chana, back to the Gemara. We're in the middle of the Amud. Daniel Chana Mishal VaAzari Dichsibahu Asher In Bahem Kol Mum VeTove Mareu Mashlichim B'Chol Chachme VeYodei Adas Mevina Meida VeYasher Koch Bahem Lamod BeHechal HaMelech Ulalamdam Sefer the Lashon Kasdim. And finally, right, remember, contextually, where are we in the Gemara? We're going through the six descendants of Rus and the six qualities of the six descendants. So we took care of David, we took care of Mashiach. Now we're describing four, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So actually we're going to treat them all, we're going to put them all together. And the Pasuk in Daniel describes them as being Momein Bam, they don't have any blemish. They're good to appear. They're nice in appearance. They're smart. They understand. Right, Asher Koch Bam Lamod Behechal. They can stand in the Hechal for a long period of time. They have a lot of stamina, and they learn the Chaldean language. Okay, Maya Asher Ein Bam Kol Mom. What does it mean? They have no blemish on them whatsoever. They were like perfect physically. They didn't even need bloodletting. Right? Bloodletting, which was very popular at the time, we talk about this often, so they didn't need it. So in other words, even the small little insertion of the needle for bloodletting, they didn't do it. So they had no physical moon whatsoever. When they were in front of the king Nebuchadnezzar, they didn't laugh, they took their job very seriously. They didn't laugh, they didn't have idle conversation, they didn't sleep, right? They took their jobs very seriously. And when they need to go to the bathroom, they didn't just simply say, king, we need to go. They stuck it out from the beginning of the class to the end of the class. Because they had a reverence to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. So Rabbi Elazar says that they all were descendants of Yehuda. Well, it makes perfect sense because we just identified them as being descendants of Rus. So yeah, they're going to be from the tribe of Yehuda.
No, they could have been like a maternal
correct
descendant.
You know, point taken. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Daniel mibnei Yehuda, Chananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Mishael, Shvatim, and Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. And Rabbi Shmuel says that no, Daniel was a descendant of Yehuda, but the other three, Chananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they were from other tribes. How he knows that, I don't know. I assume it's some sort of tradition. The Navi in Daniel describes them as being Sarisim. They were eunuchs. So that means they were castrated. So there's going to be one opinion in the Gemara that says, yeah, they were castrated. My Sarisim, Rav Amar Sarisim, Mamash, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Shinistar Savarazar B'Yameham. So one opinion is that they were physically castrated. A second opinion is that no. Sris over here means to cut off, but it doesn't refer to a castration. It refers to they cut off Avodah Zarah. No more Avodah Zarah during their time as a result of their episode of the fiery furnace. Bishlam Laman Damash and the Star Avodah Zarah B'yamei Ma'inu Dichsev V'chevo La'aisi Bahon. They were not hurt at all. El Laman Damash Sirisim Mamash Ma'i V'chevo La'aisi Bahon Chavo Denura. Chaval over here just simply means they weren't scorched by the fire. They were harmed in other ways. They were castrated, but they weren't harmed by the fire. The Haksiv Vereach Nur Lo Adas Bahan Lo Chavala Vilo Recha. It says they weren't singed. They weren't hurt. Bishlam Laman Damish Nistar Savar Azar B'Yemei Ma'inu Dichsev Kama Hashem LaSarisim Asher Yishmur Shab Susai. Right, the Sarisim who kept my Shabbos. If you want to tell me that they were really castrated, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is talking about them in such a pejorative fashion. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Meaning, they were Shomer Shabbos and they were castrated. The Gemara says it's not necessarily a contradiction.
Did we say that they have sons and daughters?
Ah,
we said that.
The Gemara is going to raise that question. Bishlam laman damar sar sim mamish ani dichsev beveisiv vechomas ayad v'shem. Tov mi banim u bi banos. Using the psukim Yeshaya, which we learn every fast day. So the pasuk says that they were sarisim and they didn't have children. Elaman damish in the star sar avodah zarah b'yamei mai tov mi banim u mi banos. They had children prior to the castration, which is difficult, by the way. because they were brought into Nebuchadnezzar's court at a very young age. So you're going to have to somehow work that out, how that exactly works out. But the Gemara says that they had children and their children died. My shame olam etein lo asher lo yikares am Rabbi Tanchan darsh bar kapar b'tzipor zeh sefer Daniel, the book of Daniel, which was not authored by Daniel, and yet it's called Sefer Daniel, and that is the shame. That's the name, the everlasting name that's given to him. Shenikra al shmo michti kol mila de Ezra Nechemiah ben Chachilai Amrinu. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you a similar idea of, you name a sefer after somebody who you want to perpetuate their name. Look, Sefer Ezra, I know we call it Ezra ben Nechemiah, but throughout the entire Gemara, it's just called Sefer Ezra. At a later period in time, I don't know when and where or why, but it's called Ezra ben Nechemiah, but it's primarily called Sefer Ezra. It was really authored by Nechemiah. Ben Nechemiah ben Chachalai, my time alo, ikra sefer al shmei. And why didn't he name it after himself? And why did he name it Sefer Ezra? I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'ab, and Mimei Shehichzik Tova La'atzmo. Shenemar, because Nechemiah was Machzik Tova, he took too much credit. Shenemar, Zachrali Elokai L'Tova. So the Gemara says, David, Nami Memar Amar, Zachreni Hashem Beratzon Amcha, Pakdeni Bishua Secha. So the Gemara says, there's a difference between Nechemiah and David. David Racha Mehava Tekabaye. David was just looking for Rachmanis. He was just looking for compassion. But Nechemiah was really looking to take credit. And when you look to take credit, so the Sefer was not called after his name. A little bit more for today. So to get up to Chizkiyahu. Rabbi Yosef Amar Mimeshe Siper Begnusim Shal Rishonim. Another reason why Nechemiah's Sefer is not called Sefer Nechemiah is because he spoke disparagingly of earlier generations. Shenemar Ba'apachos Rishonim Ashol Ifnei Hichbidu Ala Am. Earlier leaders of the Jewish people took too much. How for him we know that Daniel was greater than Nehemiah? Because there was a vision. Daniel saw the vision, and Nehemiah did not see the vision. But they were afraid. They did not see the vision that Daniel saw. Inu adif minevi iu adif minayu. Top of Tzadidal Amud Aleph. Inu adif mine. They're greater than Daniel because they know Navi, because they're Naviim. The EU love Navi. And he, Daniel, is not a Navi. Daniel was not a Navi. Okay? The EU adiv minayu, the EU chazav, ino lo chazu. But meanwhile, there was a certain vision, and Daniel saw it, and the others didn't see it. And I know the Gemara is somewhat perplexing, because here we're discussing a vision that Daniel saw and they didn't see, and in the same breath, the Gemara says that Daniel was not a Navi. So, okay, that is confusing. I don't know how to clarify that. V'chime achid lochaz in my time of Yibaz. They didn't see the vision and yet they were afraid. So the Gemara says, afagavdino lochaz in midemaz layu chazeh. They might not have saw the vision, but their mazel saw the vision. Am ravinish mamina haiman demabis afagavdino lochazi mazle chazeh. You ever have that fear that comes over you, and you don't know why it comes over you? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because even though you may not have seen something, right, some sort of vision, your mazel saw it, and your mazel understood what happened, so on a certain subconscious level, you're going to become afraid. My taikante, what do you do to, so to say, assuage the fear? Linshav miduchte arba gamidi, move back from where you are four amos, inami likra kriyashma, or rekriyashma, the ikai b'makam atinofis, if you're just in a place where you can't say Kriya Shema right now, lema hachi. So say the following: izabed debetavcha shemena minai. The goat in the market in the butcher is fatter than I am. Meaning, in Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Don't go after me. Go after somebody else. Okay, good. We're still behind, unfortunately, but there's a good place to stop. Tomorrow we start with Chizkiyahu. And tomorrow...
What's happening in Shavuos?
Tomorrow, I'll give a schedule. We may end up learning more in Shavuos, just to catch up. Okay. רבי חנניה בן עקשיא אמר לקדוש ברוך הוא זכה לצורך פיך אחר במטר המצווה שנאמר עליך חפץ למען צדקהו להגדיל תורה ויעבור